Welcome to the Round 11 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm not joined by FB Donkey. Fortunately, he's at Anissa's 21st. Only happens once in a girl's life, so fair enough. In his place, we have two super, super capable replacements, and you already know them very well. Dunny, or PKD73 on Twitter, is joining us again this week. Dunny, welcome back to the show, mate.
Thanks for having us back, Marcus. Great to be here.
And Faz, of course, a regular as well. Welcome back to the show, Faz.
Thanks for having me, Marcus. It's great to be here. We promise we won't take too many pot shots at Mark while he's away.
That tends to be the case.
We can't promise anything.
I'm pretty sure I beat him this week, so I'm a bit annoyed that he's not here for me to, you know, hold it over him, but that's all right. Why don't we start with a score update for the week, or a ranking update, or a period update for you, Dunny, and for you, Faz? Well, I'll kick us off with a round review. I scored 21.98 for the week, and I think that means I beat Mark by around 20 points. I'll take that. Did a double upgrade this week. I brought in Boyd and I brought in Wingard. So really happy with Wingard at 136 for 380k. And yeah, in a week that was relatively low scoring, I think that was a pretty decent score. I moved up 250 ranking points and won, I think, 8 of my league games. So it looked okay for the round, back just inside the top 5,000. Dunning, did you bring in Chad Wingard?
No, I didn't bring him in this week, mate. I only made the one trade this week. I got rid of Darcy Byrne-Jones for Oscar McDonald, purely a cash grab. Just needed to build a bit of bank because I was struggling for a few dollars to do some upgrades in a few weeks. But my horrible season continues. I only scored 2015 this week. Helped along by some great scores from Hartley with his wonderful 19 points. Steph Martin with his 40 points. I had to play Keys on field, so I had 49 from him. The list goes on. You know, Petrarca with 51, which is not too bad, I guess, from him, but still, you know, doesn't help my score overall, really. So, yeah, my season's not going well. I'm ranked way down. I don't even think there's anyone else down with me, so I'm sure Faz did far better than I did.
Thankfully for me, I did score a 21.64 this week, which I was reasonably happy with. Mm-hmm. Pushes up the ranking to not too high, unfortunately, not like the regular host, but 27,000. So it's been steadily improving for the last few weeks. I think I was down at 46,000 3 weeks ago. So
keep that trend going.
I'll be happy.
If I can do that, mate, I'll be happy. I'm down around there at the minute myself.
Okay, yep. Yeah, it takes a few good weeks, and you can really make some make some gains. Brought in Rance this week because I needed a round 13 defender. Was looking at Doherty and Simpson, so looking like a bad decision after 1 week, but yeah, hopefully Rance will turn it around. I know Mark sold me on his consistency a few weeks ago, and Jamie McMillan's another one that's killing me. He's had, I think, about 360s in a row now, so, and the fact that I'm probably just about the only person, me and Jamie McMillan are the only ones that have him in our Supercoach teams, so that's really hurting.
Yeah, unfortunately, the theme of this week's show, Faz, is looking a little bit at these underperforming players that we have in our team. A lot of people considering moving these blokes on, and we'll also look to some ins. So mainly individual players we'll be looking at. We'll just move through some questions. A lot of midfield premiums as people look to complete off their midfield first. It tends to be the case. Yeah, you want to upgrade to those ultra premiums in the midfield before you finish your upgrades in the back and forward lines. As we do each week, we take our questions from Facebook and Twitter. So thank you everyone for your questions there. Just before we get into the show, a quick group update for the Supercoach Coach group. So 24.61 was the top score for the week. We're all pretty jealous of that. More than 200 points above me, and I top scored among us, so that's heaps of points, and that moved him up into the top 5,000. So I think he might even have jumped me.
Steve's Honey Bunnies,
well done to you, mate. And Darren's I Already Did This continues to lead our group overall. He scored 23.67 and it moved him to fourth. Fourth in the comp.
Nice work.
Well done, mate. That puts you right in the hot seat at the mid-year mark, which tends to be where you want to be.
In terms of our Supercoach Coach leagues, we had Supercoach Coach number one move from 10th to 7th, which is great to see. Supercoach Coach Queens are at 13th, and we have a new entrant into the top 20 for our Supercoach Coach leagues. That's the Aces into 16th. So three in the top 20. Hopefully we keep pushing back up. Good to see overall we seem to be moving upwards. Well done to the community. And patreon.com/supercoachcoach for anybody looking to help out with the running costs of the show. So we'll get straight into the questions now. And as we do most weeks, we'll start with the rookies. And this week's first question is from Stephen on Facebook. Is Matheson a must-have? So we talked about him last week already. He was talked about in the preseason fairly early on in terms of being the rookie that was most likely to end up in Brisbane's best 22. He broke in last week, and this week scored 53, last week 59. So not brilliant averages so far, but considering we're light on for options at this point in the season, he does seem like the standout.
Yeah, I like the look of him. A big one for me is his buy timing. He's around 15 buy player. I'm probably, with that scoring, I'm not sort of bringing him in thinking that he'll be a guy that I can use as a downgrade option later in the year. But being around 15, he'll be able to cover the first 2 weeks of buys. And I know my team personally doesn't have a lot of midfielders from round 15. I think currently Dangerfield's the only one. And I guess that a few teams are like that. Maybe Selwood is in there as well, but not too many other players from those teams. Mm-hmm. So I really like the look of him for that reason. As you said, he was on track, I think, to be debuting round one this season. I think it was just Jeremy Cameron's shoulder to his cheekbone that put his season off the rails for a little while. I can see him staying in the team. I think Lepich will probably look at sort of, if he's going to swing the axe, probably doing it to some of the more senior players rather than the first-year guys like Matheson.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there, Faz. I think the key for me is the fact that he's that round 15 buy player. I'll be looking to pick him up and holding him through till he has that round 15 buy, and then either upgrade or downgrade him at that point.
And who doesn't want to pick a player whose nickname's the Beast? I mean,
absolutely.
That's a great nickname to be calling for your Supercoach player. And just his work ethic and attitude application. I think I talked it up last week. He's already a leader, in my opinion, with the way he goes about his football and the way he tries to get his teammates up and his encouragement, and just a really good club player. I think most footy teams would be fairly happy to have Matheson on their list. And yeah, definitely a gem, and I think a must-have this week. So Jackson Payne is another Brisbane bloke, crossed over from Collingwood in the trade with Patrick Karnezis. He's now priced at $127,000, and he's played the last two rounds as well, 45-47, his two scores. The good thing is he is listed as a forward. We did get a few questions. Where are the back and forward rookies for the rest of the season? He's one on the horizon right now. Either of you two tempted by Jackson Payne?
Not myself. I think it's only a 10-point difference between what he's been scoring and what the Beast has been scoring, but that 10 points is probably enough. His BE's only down at minus 15, whereas Matheson's got minus 42. So for me, I don't think I'll be looking to pick him up, but I can certainly see why people would.
Yeah, I understand the comment you made about the lack of back and forward line options. I know last week I actually traded in Dougal Howard to my team. I just needed a forward line downgrade, and although I wasn't 100% sold on his job security or anything like that, I just sort of brought him in because of a lack of better options. So I think you can do worse than Jackson Payne. I know that they have pretty bad depth in their key position at Brisbane.
Mm.
Harris Andrews is one who's listed as 1 week on the injury list this week, so he'll probably miss this coming week but could be back after then. And I think he's been playing as a lockdown defender, so probably in that same sort of role as Payne, but with the lack of depth there, you could definitely see him staying in the team.
I don't know if his job security is great, but you would think he'd be in and out at the very least. And he is a 22-year-old, so, you know, a mature age, spent a bit of time in the system. So you could do worse, but certainly it's unlikely people will be doing a double down this week, and therefore he's probably a less attractive option. I can understand if you really just need a forward line downgrade because you have too many expensive rookies, you might look to Payne, especially because there's not necessarily a whole bunch of forward line rookies on the horizon in any way. Yeah, it's not an awful pick, but certainly not an inspiring one either. He was delisted and then redrafted as a rookie at the end of last year. The last rookie that we want to talk about who's on the bubble this week is Mackenzie Willis. Now, he was a late in. He scored 32 and 33 in his two games. He's a mid forward, and at Gold Coast, I mean, he's only getting a game because the injury list is absolutely massive there. But I think they have a fair few players potentially coming back this week. So his selection certainly in doubt this week.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head where you said he was a late in this week on that one, Marcus. The fact that he was a late in tells me that he's not in their best 22. The fact he's only had a 230s and he comes up against Sydney this week, it's probably a pass for me on that one.
Mm-hmm. All right, so off the rookies now, hopefully, you know, we did talk about this last week. The rookies been a bit dry this week, so hopefully people have socked up some cash in anticipation and you can just bring in Matheson and hope for better things to come in the upcoming weeks. Rookies-wise, I mean, as we mentioned last week, it is dangerous to pick up any rookies with poor job security at this point in the season because we're heading into the byes and you want as many players playing as you can. So definitely some red flags there. We'll move on to the general outs and ins now. We'll start with the outs. The first question is from Elliot Howard Ross. Is it time to cut Wines? And I think good timing, Dunny, because I'm losing my shit here. So I need some reassurance. What's going on? I mean, really frustrating that I think even though he's really good extractor, he just doesn't seem to get that outside ball. I thought he covered the ground reasonably well. I expect better than 91 average after 10 rounds. I'm very disappointed so far. Do you think he's got a turnaround on the horizon, Dunny?
Oh, look, personally, I'd love to see him turn it around because that means the team's doing a hell of a lot better as well. Yeah. Yeah, look, he's only got the 3 scores of 100 plus and one of them was only 101. I'm not sure what's going on with him. I think part of it could also be the fact that we're just getting absolutely smashed in the ruck at the moment with no recognised ruckman in the side. Trengove and Howard sort of playing Mr. Fix-It in the midfield there. We are getting a few clearances, but a 62 against Melbourne certainly doesn't really cut it, does it? He's not in my team, but I can certainly see how you're losing your shit with it, Marks.
Yeah, and I mean, these are the sort of blokes, I guess, that you're kind of just keeping your fingers crossed until the bye. Yeah. I think it was so close to the bye and an opportunity to trade around the byes that even though it pains me to hold on for so long and it pains me that he's scoring 71 and 62, you know, a few rounds before I'm looking to trade him out, something I kind of got a cop on the chin. I mean, he's got a break even of 148. So if he drops another 20 something K, he'll be at 440. But really, that's about as low as he's going to go, I hope, anyway. I don't think he's going to drop sub 400. And so, you know, you just hold on. Hopefully, he has a few big weeks in the lead up to the bye and you can trade him out then. But
coming up over the next 3 weeks before our bye, we've got Collingwood at the MCG, the Bulldogs at Adelaide Oval, and then Fremantle at Domain Stadium. So you'd have to think that they should be able to beat Collingwood and Fremantle in those two games. The Bulldogs will be a much tougher assignment. So hopefully you can have a couple of good scores in there.
Next question is from William Miller. Is it time to go Stefan Martin? Now, I'll pose this to you, Dunny, because you're actually facing this. And I think the last time you were on the show, Dunny, we talked about Martin as well. And we said, you know, just hold the bloke. But 48 and 40 in the last 2 weeks, Trent West playing in the team. There's some red flags going up.
Mate, there's more red flags than I don't know what. It's more red flags than Chinese flags, regiment, yeah, than a Chinese marching parade. I don't know. Mate, it's terrible. Trent West is clearly impacting his scoring, which hurts. Hopefully he can turn things around. Rockliffe back this week. Hopefully he'll get a few more taps to advantage. You know, with Carlton and Freo coming up in his next two, I'd like to hope he can score well. But realistically, he could actually be under 400,000 this week after playing Carlton if he has another average score, which is just unbelievable. He's dropped nearly 200,000 since the start of the year. Look, I'm in for the long haul. I'm going to hold him only because I've got so many other issues I need to fix up in my team. I did hear your advice last week and I did jump straight on to see if I could go from Martin to Goldie, but I just didn't have the cash to do it. And once again, had too many other issues to worry about. So look, if you've got the cash and you've got a pretty good team set at the moment, I could certainly see why you'd unload Steph and I'd probably jump on board myself. But for me, in my position, I'm just going to ride him out for now.
That's the sensible thing to do in most teams' cases. And no matter how frustrated you are, Stefan Martin, you're probably in a not too dissimilar position from Dunny in that if you decide to move on Martin, you're not fixing another problem area or not upgrading another rookie. And so I think even though it hurts, even though it's a complete crap situation to be in, that's actually the sensible thing to do. And sometimes things don't go your way in Supercoach, but hopefully, you know, it turns around. Next question is from George on Facebook. Are Wells and Libba keepers? Wells is averaging 97 for the year. So pretty close to premium in the forward line at 445,000. And we've got Libba at 477,000, averaging 97. So a little bit further from an ultra premium in the midfield. So thoughts on Wells or Libba, Faz?
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well there. The fact that, you know, Wells is pretty much at premium level as just a forward line player. So I see no real reason to trade him out at the moment. His break-even's up to 99 now, so, you know, there's potential that he could drop a little bit in value if he had a poor week, but I don't really see that happening. The big one for me on Daniel Wells, I keep saying it this week, so I'm going to sound like a broken record, but it's the buys. He's got a round 15 buy, so, you know, that seems like if everything goes to plan, your team's going so well that you've got every other position upgraded. At round 15, if Daniel Wells is sitting there and he's the weakest player in your team, then, you know, I would have no problems with somebody going right ahead and trading him there. I could see North managing him a bit towards the end of the season, given how important he is to their team. So, you know, there are reasons why you don't want Wells in your team, but, you know, I see him as being a very marginal difference to the best player. And Libba is the different one, where if he continues to score 97, that's good for us. It's great scoring considering the price that he started at. But if you compare that to a Hanbury or a Dangerfield, you know, you're losing 20 points per week there on those guys. So I can see why you might be trading Libba. His break-even's up to 116 this week.
The good thing about Libba is that round 14 buy. So you can side swap him around the buys to a round 13 player.
I think you boys have hit it right on the head there. Wells definitely, for me, will be staying in my forward line. And I agree, I'll probably be keeping Libba through to the buy. He certainly hasn't been a failure, even though he hasn't gone up huge amounts of dollars, because you've been able to rely on him to sit on your field, score reasonably well, whereas, you know, if you had a rookie in there, they're not going to score as consistently as what Libba's been doing. So, no, certainly happy with those choices. The other one who's probably not on our run sheet there, but who is in the same sort of boat, would be Kerridge. A lot of people have him, but he's gone up sort of, you know, 250K, sitting on a break-even of 60. A lot of people will be starting to wonder what they're going to do with him. He'd be another one that I'd certainly be keeping for now, though, if people are thinking of trading him out soon.
They've got Brisbane this week and St Kilda next week, so that's not too bad leading into the bye, but they do have a round 13 bye.
Yeah.
So if you're not looking to hold him through the byes, he might be one to trade after the next two rounds. Certainly looks a decent keep option this week, though, with a break even of 60 and facing Brisbane. All right, we'll look to the ins now, and we got a couple questions from Scott and Alistair on Facebook about Jared McVeigh. One asking if he's a steal, and the other asking if he's a top six defender. Now, I've got McVeigh. I don't know if either of you blokes have.
Paid top dollar for him, so yeah. Pretty annoying to see questions about him being a steal.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is more a question for me then, because I don't have him.
Yeah. Dunny, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, well, I think he's a good selection. He's been scoring reasonably consistently. He's had 168 and a 70, but all the other ones have been sort of 80s, 90s, and then last week's 116. Certainly at that price, very, very attractive though.
I don't know if he's a top six defender. That I'm quite sketchy about. I think we did a top six defender show pretty recently, Faz, and you were on that one. None of us nominated him as top six, but he was certainly in our top nine across the board. And so I think that's sort of where he sits, between 7, 8, 9. All right, we'll move on to the next question here from Kyle. Again, another backline player, but this one will be a bit more of a smoky, and that's Jeremy Howe. So when he was traded to Collingwood, he was promised that he wouldn't be played in the backline, and then Bucks needed him to play in the backline, and then since then he's gone to career best form. So I don't know what that means for the rest of his career, but 108, 135, 104, 125. If he wants to move out of the backline, he better start playing worse footy in the backline. But for super coaches, I mean, would you consider him, guys? I mean, that's an average of above 110 over the last four rounds. Dunny, tickle your fancy at all in only 5,000 teams?
Yeah, it certainly does. I must admit, I haven't looked at him hugely up until I saw your notes, and I'm like, oh, geez, actually, yeah, he's going really well, because he had a very ordinary start to the season with a 37, 53, 86, and 55. But geez, since that Carlton game in round 7, he's really turned around. He is a round 13 buy. And coming up, he does have Port Adelaide and Melbourne and Fremantle in his first game out of the bye, all at the MCG. So he's got a pretty good run coming up. Certainly could be well worth a pick.
Yeah, I was actually looking at him last week because I, at the time, I had no round 13 buys in my back line, so I was desperate to bring one in and settled on Rance, but I thought I'd go the safer pick. But yeah, he's looking fantastic in the back line, so, you know, and still at a pretty all right price, isn't he? So you know, it's a punt that you could take and it could really pay off.
Yeah, riskier selection, I think, but you know, with risk comes reward in the fact that he's a unique player. Probably a little bit too risky for mine in terms of no exposed form of being a premium, so I'd worry that if he wants to move back out of the back line that his scoring might drop again. But certainly Collingwood's improvement has coincided really well with his score improvement as well, and so if Collingwood continue to play good football, you'd think that Jeremy Howe has a pretty good chance of being a top 10, maybe even top 6 defender. I mean, with his last month's form, he's certainly tracking closer to top 6 than top 10, so hard to discount that form at the moment. Next question here is from Clinton Stott on Twitter, and this one's probably the big question for the week this week, and good that we have Dunny on, and I know talking to Faz pre-show, he's pretty keen too. Is Robbie Gray a must-have this week? Faz, you have him almost locked away, don't you?
Yeah, pretty close to a must-have. As close as we can get to a must-have at this point in the season. I had a look at what he's done in the past few years. Reminded myself that it was in 2014, 111 average. Last year, 110. And in that time, he missed one game the whole time. So I know he's missed a few already this year, but I wouldn't expect him to miss any more. He's an absolute gun. Love watching him play because he's about as close to Gary Ablett as we get in a mortal form. If you can get him for near on 500,000, I think that's just such a great get. It doesn't really fit my buy structure too well, but I'm going to force it because I love Robbie Gray that much.
Well, I must say I'm a big fan of Robbie Gray, obviously. Absolutely love watching him play. I agree. At that price, he's pretty close to a must-have. And if you're one of the people who are thinking of unloading Tom Liberatore, it's 477K up to 502. So it's not a big jump to go from Libba to Robbie. Might help your buy structure a bit, maybe. The run coming up, as I said before, Collingwood, Bulldogs, Frio, then Richmond at home. So pretty good run coming up apart from that Dogs game, really, for Port Adelaide. He should be scoring fantastically throughout that period.
I wasn't going to pick him because I have Wines, Libba and Pritis all as round 14 by players, but it looks like Wines and Libba will be both getting the flick, so I might pick Robbie Gray out and fulfill a round 14 midfielder. We'll move on to the next question here, and this one is from Jib Rangers. Is Hanbury an absolute must-have this week? So I got to say, I'm pretty proud of trumpeting Dan Hanbury as a selection this year because I've held pretty strong on him being, you know, an absolute top-class midfielder, and to see him average 121 and specifically, you know, starting to outshine Parker a little bit. I was getting a bit of hate for trumpeting Hanbury at one stage. I'm super happy to see him do that well. I just wish I picked him for my own team. But he's been so consistent and so expensive, I haven't had the opportunity to. In under 40,000 teams, considering he's a second-ranked player at the moment, that's actually pretty unique. Are either of you two angling to bring him in? I think you might actually have him, Faz.
That's correct. Yeah, I listened to your advice and been very pleased with it so far. He's not been killing it, I guess, in terms of having those massive scores, but just like super consistent, lowest score of the year of 100. That's yeah, pretty gas. So
second lowest 110.
Yeah. So yeah, he's been great. He's, you know, been using him as a captain and vice captain throughout the year, and you can always depend on a pretty good score from him.
I don't know what you're talking about with no massive scores there, Faz. Compared to the rest of my team, this guy's through the roof. I wish I had him, but I'd certainly look at him, but the dollars are just a little bit out of reach for me at the moment.
It might be a little bit easier to target Hanbury around the buys when you have triple trades, yeah, and you might be able to manufacture a bit more cash without having to sacrifice an upgrade for the week. So if you don't have the cash, I think he may be a must-have through the buys, but must-have is always a big call. And when you have a player like Robbie Gray sitting at 500K for the week, Pritis 500K the last couple of weeks, it's pretty hard to pass on that sort of value depending on your team structure. Next question is from David about Bryce Gibbs. Faz, I know you were considering him a few weeks ago, and I know that he would have been a very risky selection then, but since round 5, 121, 130, 132, 147, 107, and 140. That means in 5 of his last 6 games, he's not scored below 120. He's hit 140 twice, and his lowest scores are 107. I mean, those are ridiculous numbers. He's currently priced at 602,000, and believe it or not, Bryce Gibbs is in only under 10,000 teams.
Yeah, I think we sort of think of him as a defender midfielder because he was for so many years back when it was, I think, Goddard, Delidio, and Gibbs were the three sort of must-have defenders, and since he's moved into the midfield, a lot of people have just sort of steered clear of him because, you know, we don't see him as being quite up in that top level. But those scores that you read out absolutely put him up there. But again, the price, I think, we'll come back to as being one of the big problems. Getting $600,000 is quite difficult, especially considering how poor some of the rookies have been at generating cash. And another issue, I guess, is the round 13 buy with Gibbs. It's hard to trade in a guy, I guess, that is going to be missing one of the next three games guaranteed. So maybe he's a player to target around the buys.
Yeah, especially at that price point. There's no particular rush, I guess.
Just having a quick look at his run for the rest of the season. Carlton have actually got a pretty good run coming up, particularly through the end of the year. For the Supercoach finals, we've got teams like St Kilda, Brisbane, Melbourne, Essendon all in there. You know,
good call, Dunny. For league teams, that's very, very tempting.
Yeah. Well, we don't play finals in round 23 anymore, do we? So for the last 4 weeks of Supercoach season, we've got Hawthorn, St Kilda, Brisbane and Melbourne.
Still very good.
Yeah, if you look at the rest of the run, of top eight teams, they've got GWS, Adelaide, West Coast, Sydney and Hawthorn, and the rest of their teams are all bottom 10 sides.
Now that they've won, is it five or six?
Five in a row, yeah.
Jesus, yeah. They might do 6 and 7 with Brisbane and St Kilda coming up. He could certainly be a very good option. All right, another bloke that was a former star that we've sort of forgot a little bit about is Trent Cotchin. And I know Mark brought him in last week. He scored a 122. He went up 5K. He's at 552,000. He's in only 3,900 teams, so an absolute unique player. You don't need to give Mark too many excuses to bring in Trent Cotchin. He's got a long-standing love affair with the guy, and if you see Mark Murphy turn around some form, he'll be straight in Mark's team too. But would you guys consider Trent Cotchin? Again, similar situation, around 13 by player.
I don't share Mark's love for Cotchin so much. I've just never been a huge fan of his footy. I don't like the little chip kicks that he always does and those things. So I'll probably look elsewhere, I think. And I know his break-even's down at 59 right now, and he's averaging 110. So 550,000 is probably a pretty good price for him. But I think there's probably a better 8 midfielders out there.
I'm with you, Faz. I don't share a huge amount of love for him. There's only really one Richmond player for me, usually, and that's Dusty. But, his numbers haven't been too bad. He's only had the two scores under 100 so far this year. That one of those was the 66 against Port, where he suffered the fractured cheekbone or whatever it was. But, you know, last 2 weeks, 151, 122. Admittedly, that's been against Freo and sorry, Faz, Essendon.
Nothing like those two teams to get your season back on track.
Yeah, he's had some good scores, you know, 129 against Adelaide, 104 against West Coast in Perth. So I can certainly see why you'd be looking at him fairly seriously.
Yeah, his best average in his career has been 116, second best 106. So he hasn't really shown an ability to score 115 consistently. That's by far the standout and almost an anomaly. I would say that if he was priced at 500K, I would probably consider him. But at 550, I'd want him to be a top 8 midfielder. And in that regard, I think I agree with you and Dunny. I don't think he's quite in that class. So if you have a love affair with Cotchin, like Mark does, then maybe pick Trent Cotchin. But I don't think the three of us are as crash hot on him. The other one to talk about is Luke Parker, just quickly. 523,000. He's actually below his starting price at the moment. He has scored under 90 in 3 of his last 4 games, but we've seen his upside before. He's still averaging 113 for the season, and at that price point, I mean, you can't go too wrong. Sydney are going to win way more games than they lose this year. They're second on the ladder in terms of games won at the moment, and even though Mitchell's absolutely killing it, Parker eventually will get his big game back again and pump his average up. So if anyone's looking for Parker, he's at a decent price point.
I just have to apologise to the listeners. It's my fault that Parker's died because I brought him in round 6, and since then he's had 2 good scores, and that's the rest of it's been rubbish. So clearly my fault.
All right, last question. Again, so many Port players this round, Daddy.
Port Adelaide show, it's great.
Yeah, I love it. This question's from Kane Arnold. I talked about him already. I'm super psyched I brought him in my team. Chatty Wingard, 415,000, went up 34K after his 136 on the weekend. His break even 7, and Kane's asking, is he too good to refuse at that price? 2 scores over 100. Dunny, would you consider him at that price point?
Look, I don't think Chad's had the best season of his career this year. He's certainly had a few fairly poor games. I mean, against Adelaide, a 54, against Geelong, a 36. Both of those were at Adelaide Oval, where he does tend to score pretty well. You know, a 63 against Carlton. You're right, his last 2 games, West Coast Melbourne, have been 107, 136. Pretty good. I guess I'm just a bit worried that if Port don't keep winning or keep playing well like they have in the last couple of weeks, although we didn't beat West Coast, certainly played a lot better, he might, you know, go back into his shell and go back to those poor scores that we had, you know, with Giants and Geelong. I can certainly see the attraction to him. I will certainly very seriously look at bringing him in, but I think he just hasn't been consistent enough this season for me.
I'm definitely considering him strongly. I know I said Robbie Grazer must have, but Wingard might be as well. I recall last week, I think it was Mark mentioned that he had a great finish to last year. So I'm just as a non-Wingard owner, I'm worried that we're seeing the start of a run happening here, in which case I'd like to jump on while he's still at an affordable price.
I'm certainly saying yeah, he's certainly worth picking up, but I'm just a little worried about those low scores that he had coming back again.
I don't think he's too good to refuse, so I do agree with you, Donny, overall. And to be honest, the thing that sort of got me over the edge was the fact that I didn't have any round 14 premiums in the forward line, so that's kind of why I picked him up. I can understand passing on him, though.
Oh, yeah, if you need a round 14 premium, then absolutely jump on board.
So that wraps up this week's show. A massive thanks to the both of you for joining us. I think that went pretty well. I barely missed Mark. It's good without a gloater around, isn't it? Just kidding. Shouldn't take too many pot shots. Anyway, we'll obviously have you guys on again this season. So a massive thanks. And until next time, we'll catch you guys. Anything to leave our listeners with?
Hopefully I can score a little better. So, I'm worthy of coming back on next time.
Always worthy, Donny. Always worthy. Faz?
I think we get to see really how hard Freo are going with their tanking this week. Essendon over there at Domain Stadium. You'd have to think that's a win for Freo. But if not, I think the AFL integrity unit better get their pencils sharpened.
Could we see a nil all draw phase?
That's very possible.
Mate, you've been calling this for a very long while. If you'd told me they'd be 0-10 facing Essendon for this bottom spot in round 11, I wouldn't have believed you. And so if they lose this week, I will bow down to you. That's a good call. All right. Thanks very much for the show, guys. Have a good night, and we'll catch our listeners again next week. See ya.
See you, everyone.
Bye.
Don't want to make you crazy. Don't want to make you crazy.